I think many of you will already know the translation before I give it. As far as Sanskrit verses goes, this is one of the simplest verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you can understand this one, you're on your way to understanding Sanskrit. Translation. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord, being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on the earth as He is, in order to show His special mercy upon His unalloyed devotees, and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations because in this particular incarnation He is more approachable. In the Ram incarnation, He remained a king's son from His very childhood, but in the incarnation of Krishna, though He was the son of a king, He at once left the shelter of His real father and mother, King Vasudev and Queen Devaki, just after His appearance and went to the lap of Yashoda Mai to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Brajbhumi, which is very sanctified because of His childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother, Vasudev, and the family. Had He not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim Him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to His childhood pastimes as exhibited at Brajbhumi, which are the prototypes of His eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Sangita. Lord Sri Krishna descended Himself at Brajbhumi with all His transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajbhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Yashoda and His pastimes with the cowherd men and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows have caused Him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the Brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. Translation again. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, so going back to the verse, so the ending Aya indicates the dative case. You know this in Sanskrit, there are eight cases. The dative means to or for or unto. So Krishna, Krishnaya means unto Krishna. Vasudevaya means unto. What is the feminine equivalent? Anyone know?
I guess I mean.
No. Vrindayai Ai ai. Like we have Vrindai ai Tulsi Devi ai Priyai ai Kesavasita. Those who do deity worship will be very familiar with these, because deity worship is all about the dative case. We're offering obeisances unto. We say like Ramaya Namaha or Sitayai Namaha, Radayai Namaha. The Pujaris, they know these phrases. So because Sanskrit's a complicated language, because there's the male and female gender, then there's different types of nouns. The most common type are the nouns that end in A, like Krishna, which is why we have Krishnaya, Vasudevaya. But if you had Hari, what's the dative for Hari? It's not Haraya, as some people do. Some people say, what is it? Hare Haraye, Haraye. Hare Haraye Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha. So you can do, when you offer obeisances, you then generally use the dative case. You can also use the accusative. For example, there's a letter where Prabhupada said, Namaste Sarasvati Devam, that is okay. He said, that's okay. We say Sarasvati Devi, which is locative. Locative means unto or to. Generally it means to or at. So the word Deva means master. So Devi means unto the master. Some people, they confuse Prabhupada's prana mantra. They think it's Sarasvati Devi, but it's not. It's Sarasvati. What does it mean? Why Sarasvati and not Sarasvati? Anyone know? There's a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says, we are Sarasvatas, followers of Sarasvati. So Prabhupada is identifying himself and us as a Sarasvata. So from Sarasvata, you get Sarasvati, which means to Sarasvata. And from Deva, you get Devi. But as I mentioned, the most normal case to use for obeisances is the dative, which is in this verse. But as I say, accusative, which means devam, means to, like this object of the, but anyway, the object of the sentence, devam. If you have a sentence, the subject would be devaha, and the object would be devam. So when you see the words, a lot of words end in M, it's usually because it's the object of the sentence. Everyone clear on that? Jai. Pardon? Yes, that's unto Krishna, Krishnaya, Madhavaya, Yadavaya. That's male. So male, the male ending is Aya. The female ending is Ayai. Vrindayai, Tulsidevyai, Priyayai, Kejavashicha, Vishnu Bhakti Pradidevi. Satchavachai. Okay, Satchavati becomes Satchavachai. There's no Ayai. Satchavati becomes Satchavachai. Hare Krishna. You know, there was recently ISKCON Guru, he put out on a forum, he asked, there was a statement in Prabhupada's books which were difficult to understand. And he was, the phrase was something like, Krishna is the dative, the causative, and the accommodating causes. And someone asked him, what does this mean? And the way to find the answer is, the dative is the fourth case in grammar, but the causative is the word that Prabhupada uses for the instrumental. It means by. Like Krishnena means by Krishna. So this phrase, the accommodating cause, I took it to mean in. If you accommodate something, it means it's in you. So it's the locative. So it's all to do with grammar. If we know these grammatical phrases, then some of the more obscure purports of Prabhupada are accessible to us, because he occasionally talks about this. And there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Lord is described as, I think it's the ablative, which is from Krishna. The ablative, the locative, and there's a connection between grammar and the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is everything. Let's go through the eight cases and see how they all apply to Krishna. Krishna's the subject, the first one. Krishna's the subject. Now Krishna is the seer and we're the seen, right? So who's doing the seeing? It's Krishna. We think we're looking at Krishna, but actually Krishna's looking at us. And when Krishna looks at us, by his glance, we get the vision of Krishna. So he's the object, the subject, but he's also the object, because our devotion is focused on Krishna. He's the object of our meditation. So he's the subject, he's the object. Everything is created by Krishna, the instrumental, by Krishna. He is the cause, both the direct cause, the indirect cause. Everything is coming through Krishna, because Ishvara Parama Krishna, he's the Supreme Controller. The dative, we offer everything unto Krishna. The ablative, everything comes from Krishna. He's the source of everything. The next one's the genitive, means of Krishnasya, means of Krishna. And you can see that the possessive, it's called the possessive. Krishna owns everything. Ishavasya Midam Sarvam. Therefore, he is the genitive, the locative, everything is in Krishna, or everything rests on Krishna. And the final one is the vocative. And what mantra do we have, which is all vocative? We have a certain mantra where every single word is vocative. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we call out to Krishna, and that's the vocative. In other words, there's nothing except for Krishna, right? Anyway, what should we say about this purport? I'm going to talk a little bit about the purport and a little bit about Ramanujacharya because it is his disappearance day today. One of our great Sampradaya Acharyas. We have four Sampradaya Acharyas. Ramanuja is the Acharya for the Sri Sampradaya. So we'll discuss that shortly. So, Prabhupada is making a point about the sweetness of the Vrindavan pastimes. You notice that? And it comes out in the words. Krishna is the word for the Vrindavan aspect of Godhead. Son of Vasudeva and son of Devaki, almost Mathura pastimes, but we know straight away he goes to Vrindavan. And Nanda Gopa, that's obviously a Vrindavan phrase. Govinda, the cows. All these names are not just names of the Lord, but they're all names that specifically refer to his Vrindavan pastimes and to his Mathura pastimes. And his Mathura pastimes are said to be very sweet, sweeter than his Vaikuntha pastimes or his Dwarka pastimes. But even sweeter than that are the Vrindavan pastimes. So it said in the Chaitanya-charitamrita, Aishvarya Shatila Prema Nahi Mora Prita. When love is mixed with opulence, mood of awe and reverence, it does not satisfy me. Krishna ultimately gets satisfaction from having the very sweet pastimes. And it said that, therefore, in this particular purport, did anyone notice? Prabhupada says, Krishna is even more merciful than Lord Ram, yes. So one time, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he gave a lovely lecture on the greed of the Lord. And I'll try and say it in summary. We don't have time to explain it. But this is what he explained. He said, after Lord Nrsingadev had killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was sitting on his lap, and Lord Nrsingadev was thinking, you know, the Vatsalya Rasa is not symmetrical. The love the child has for the parent is greater than what the parent has for the child. So then this desire in Lord Nrsingadev's heart arose. I want to be, my next incarnation, I want to be a child, and I want to experience love from my parents. Therefore he came as Lord Ram. Most avatars, they don't have the childhood pastime, but Lord Ram, he has the wonderful childhood pastimes as well. But Lord Ram, he felt something was missing. He was thinking, you know, I love all these monkeys and all my soldiers, but they all treat me with awe and reverence. They can't be familiar with me. I cannot play with them properly. And he also thought, I have taken this vow, ekapatni vrat. I have one wife, but I want to fully display my conjugal pastimes. Therefore, he took birth as Krishna. So when Krishna sports with the cow her boys, they can kick Krishna, and he gets great pleasure in this. Whereas if one of the monkey soldiers would kick Lord Ram, it would be great offense. So there was more fun for Krishna, and his display of love for the gopis is an expansion of even his great love for Mother Sita. And if you notice in the purport, Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajbhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So there's a Sanskrit sloka that has this particular statement. It obviously applies to a particular Sanskrit verse. Does anyone know that verse? It's the verse that begins, Arajo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tadama Vrindavanam Kashtadu Pasana Brajabadu Vargena Yakalpita. This second line, Ramya Kashtad. Ramya means wonderful. And Brajabadu, Badu means the gopis. So the highest form of worship is the gopis' worship of Krishna. And this is what Lord Chaitanya specifically came to teach. And this is a verse, and it comes from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, so I've been told, although you won't find that exact statement written anywhere in Prabhupada's books, but you will find the verse. What's the next line after that? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhar Madamitam Tatradharana Paraha. So it's a wonderful verse. Just like Krishna's worshipable, his abode Vrindavan is equally worshipable. There's no difference. This is the Chinchabira Beda Tattva. The Lord's holy dam and the Lord himself are equal. The worship of the gopis is the highest. The highest evidence, highest truth is Srimad Bhagavatam. Prema Pumarto Mahan. The goal of life is prema. And this is the final conclusion of Lord Chaitanya. So this is our philosophy in a nutshell. And it distinguishes us from, for example, the Sri Sampradaya, who focus worship on the awe and reverence towards either Lord Narayan or to Lord Ram. I think officially it's Lord Narayan, but they tend to worship Lord Ram, the Sri Sampradaya. So let's talk about Ramanujacharya. So what did he particularly come to give us? Anyone know? What was his mission? What was his purpose? You know, there was one time there was a film. When I was a child, I watched this film called Top Gun. So they wanted the perfect shot of sunrise on this aircraft carrier. But unfortunately, the aircraft carrier was in the wrong orientation. So they said, we want to turn the aircraft carrier around so that we can get the sunrise and have this great shot in the film. And they said, we can do that. It'll cost you $100,000 to turn around this aircraft carrier. We have some very big object that takes a lot of energy, a lot of force to turn it around. So the same with Indian culture. We have animal slaughter was rife. So then the Lord comes as the Buddha incarnation to take us away from the Vedas because the Vedas are being misused. Do you see the point I'm making? We're going to gradually turn things around. It's not like you can straight away turn things around. So the Buddha, phase one, bring us away from the Vedas and towards ahimsa. Of course, we have a problem because we've gone away from the Vedas. We want to go back to the Vedas. So then comes Shankaracharya. Mayavadam asach chastram prachanam baujam uchati. It's covered Mayavad. What Shankaracharya taught us is Buddhism. It's covered Buddhism. It's Mayavad philosophy. And it's asat, which means it's wrong. But at least it brings us back to the Vedas. So then we have Ramanujacharya coming. He's going to bring it even further. He's going to establish, he's going to defeat impersonalism and make it not within it. It's going to be the Vedic, it's going to be Vedic, but it's going to be the correct philosophy, whereas Shankaracharya was Vedic with the wrong philosophy. So there's another Acharya who's very prominent in bringing us away from Mayavad and towards the personal feature. Who's the other main Acharya that does this? Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya, they came at the same time, roughly. Ramanujacharya comes first, and then roughly about 200 years later, Madhvacharya came. So if you remember, we have a short memories, but if you remember, the 1,000th anniversary of the birth of Ramanujacharya was, I think, 2017, perhaps. Anyway, it was very recent. Imagine that. So that dates him, so he's 1,000 AD, so approximately 1,017. And amazingly enough, his body is still preserved. Now, I've never been to Sri Rangam. I don't even know what the rules are, if I'm allowed in or not. Anyway, there is the form of Ramanujacharya. Say again? Yes. Amazing. So they have these ways to preserve bodies, you know. It's not just the Egyptians that know how to do this. So yes, so Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they are teaching that the Lord is a person and we are different. So there's one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says, Yo Haresh Chaiva Jivanam Beda Vakta Hare Priyaha. You are very dear to the Lord if you preach difference. Now we have a philosophy of oneness and difference. So when we argue, well, let us preach that we're one with the Lord. But actually, the Lord is more pleased when you preach difference. Of course, we have oneness and difference. But so great preachers of difference, like Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya. So he lived in Kanchipura. And the deity, main deity in Kanchipura is Varada Raja, which means he's the king of givers of boons. Vara means boon. Varada means a giver of boon. So he worshipped Varada Raja. And at that time, as I mentioned, there was a lot of tension between the impersonalists and the Vaishnavas. And Ramanujacharya, he became a very, very powerful preacher of Vaishnava philosophy, and as a result, he had many enemies. Now, today, a lot of the time in our society, we find devotees who have a heavy heart, they're disturbed, something to do with the guru. Maybe their guru fell down, or they're not satisfied with their guru. There's a lot of it around, right? It's nothing new. Ramanujacharya had a similar kind of pastime. His first guru was an impersonalist. And because Ramanujacharya was brilliant, then he came into conflict with his guru. And that's a difficult thing. It said, avidyo va, guru eva janardana, marga stov apya marga sto, guru eva sadagati. That whether the guru is in knowledge or not in knowledge, he is a representative of Janardan. Whether he's following the path or he's not following the path, he is my goal. This is a verse from the Aditya Purana. It's interesting. And it sort of indicates that we should have respect for senior persons, even if there's some discrepancy in what they're doing and what they're thinking. So we should be very careful if we want to correct the guru. You know, we're not in a position to do that. In fact, our scriptures say it should be done tactfully in a secluded place. You shouldn't do it in public. Give the example of when Lord Chaitanya defeated Keshava Kashmiri, he did it in private. He didn't make a big show out of it. He instructed him in private. So we have to be very careful. So it's obviously a difficult thing when a disciple feels there's something not right with the guru and has to sort of find a way to address the problem, to clear the doubt. Anyway, so let's tell you some pastimes with Ramanujacharya and his guru. So his first guru is known as Yadava Prakash. As I say, he was an impersonalist. Now there's one kind of famous pastime where Yadava Prakash is describing Krishna, and he describes him using the phrase Kapyasyam Pundariksham Evam Akshini. And he translated it, it's from the Chandogya Upanishad, he translated it as, the Lord has eyes like the backside of a monkey. Kapi means monkey, so Kapi Asyam means the backside of a monkey. So at that time, Ramanujacharya was massaging Yadava Prakash, and he became very distressed when he heard this analogy. And he started crying, and he had hot tears. When you're in distress, your tears are hot. So these hot tears landed on the body of Yadava Prakash, and he inquired, what is the matter? So Ramanujacharya, he gave a different translation. He said, Ka means water, P means drinking, like Pibati means to drink. So Kapi means the drinker of water, which indicates the stalk of a lotus. And Asya means on top of. So the lotus sits on top of its stalk. Therefore, Kapyasyam means a lotus. And he gave another answer. Kapi means the sun, because the sun also drinks water through evaporation. So he said, it means the Lord's eyes are beautiful like the lotus flower, or they're brilliantly effulgent like the sun. In this way, he corrected his guru. Now, there are several other instances where he corrected his guru, and it got to the point where Yadava Prakash was very angry, very envious, and he could see the power of Ramanujacharya, so he plotted to kill him. And he actually had some of his disciples were in on this plot. But he had a well-wisher, Ramanujacharya, called Govinda. So Govinda alerted Ramanujacharya about what's going to happen. So they were on pilgrimage at the time. So Ramanujacharya then disappeared. He'd left the assembly, understanding what was going on. But he was only a boy at the time, and he didn't know how to get back to Kanchipur. It was a long way away. And he was in a forest, and then this hunter and the hunter's wife came, and then they instructed him how to get back to Kanchipur. And miraculously, he found that he got back within a few days, even though it had taken many weeks to go. So it was obviously some miracle had happened when he was sleeping. He'd been transported closer to Kanchipur or something. But anyway, he got the realization that this hunter and the hunter's wife were actually none other than Lakshmi and Narayan. They'd actually come to protect Ramanujacharya. So who was his actual guru? Anyone know? Who? Yamunacharya. Now, Yamunacharya features in our books, Prabhupada's books. In fact, I've heard it said that a lot of the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are modeled on verses by Yamunacharya. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, there's a famous verse by Yamunacharya. Does anyone know that verse? Yadavadi mama chita krishna padaravindi navanava rasa dhamma nyuchatam rantuna sit tadavadi batanari sangami smaryamani bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtiva nungscha. He says, ever since my mind has become fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, when I think of mundane sex life, I spit at the thought. Or as Prabhupada would say, I spite at the thought. You heard Prabhupada's lectures? He says it, I spite at the thought. So this is Yamunacharya. And there's a wonderful pastime when Yamunacharya left his body. Three of his fingers were curled up. And his disciples couldn't understand what that meant. So Ramanujacharya, he went before the body of Yamunacharya. And he felt inspired to make three promises. He said, I promise I will spread the Sri Sampradaya philosophy all over India. One of the fingers popped open. And he said, I promise that I will spread the teachings of Parasara Muni. Another finger popped open. And he said, I promise I will write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And we'll call it Sri Bhashya. And the third finger popped open. So it's a wonderful miracle. So as I mentioned, because Ramanujacharya, he's known as a Sampradaya Acharya, then he must have a commentary. So every Sampradaya Acharya has a commentary. And there's actually a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada lists what those four commentaries are. It's quite interesting because we don't generally talk about them, so we'll cover that in a minute. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So, Madhvacharya, what's the name of Madhvacharya's commentary of Brahma Sutra? Anyone know? It's actually one of his names, Madhvacharya. When he was younger, he was known by another name. Purna Pragya. Madhvacharya is known as Purna Pragya, and his commentary is known as Purna Pragya Bhashya. And in Bharkacharya, his commentary is known as Parijata Saurabha Bhashya, which I think means the fragrance of the Parijata flower. I don't know why it's called that. Presumably, when you read it, it's very fragrant. Then there is Vishnu Swami, his commentary is known as Sarvagya Bhashya. And as I mentioned, Sri Bhashya is Ramanujacharya's one. Now, there are a few other Bhashyas that we are aware of. What is Ramanujacharya's commentary called? Someone must know, surely. Prabhupada mentions it very often. Shariraka Bhashya. And what about Baladeva Vijayabhushana's? Govinda Bhashya, yes, thank you. So we have four Sampradayas and we have five Bhashyas. Why the extra one? Well, there was that famous disagreement between the Ramanandis and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas were worshipping Radha and Krishna. The Ramanandis, who are a branch of the Sri Sampradaya, they complained and said, this is not in scripture, this is not authorized. And then in the debate, Baladeva Vijayabhushana was challenged. Well, if you Gaudiya Vaishnavas are bona fide, what is your commentary of Vedanta Sutra? Of course, we have our commentary. It's Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyati, 12th canto. The Bhagavatam is the essence of Vedanta Sutra. So we have our own commentary. We don't need a commentary. But in order to satisfy the Ramanandis, Govinda, the original Govinda, inspired Baladeva Vijayabhushana to write this commentary. He actually spoke it. It's known as the Govinda Bhashya. And that was the stamp of authority for the Gaudiyas. Because, let's face it, are we the Madhva Sampradaya or not? It's a bit vague. We are and we aren't. There's only four Sampradayas, so of course we are. But at the same time, where did it change? Where did the Sampradaya go on a different track? Came with Madhavendra Puri. Ayi dina dayadra natahi matura nata kadava lokese ridayam twadaloka kataram doyata brahmyate kim karomyaham. When Madhavendra Puri was leaving the planet, he was speaking this beautiful verse saying, O Maturanath, O Krishna, my heart is afflicted with separation from you. My mind is reeling. What shall I do? And of course, it was Ramachandra Puri? One of Madhavendra Puri had two prominent disciples. One was very good, Advaitacharya. Is it Advaitacharya? Yeah. And is it Ramachandra? Who are the two ones? I can't remember now. Anyway, Ramachandra Puri was the bad disciple. And he chastised Madhavendra Puri and said, why are you lamenting? You should fix your mind on the Supreme Brahman. He didn't understand the nature of Madhavendra's high love. Anyway, this is the point. This is the seed where the love of the gopis becomes part of the Sampradaya, and in Lord Chaitanya broadcast it. So if you go to, here's an interesting statement, an interesting fact. If you look at the Harmonist magazine, very early editions, during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they presented Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as the Sampradaya Acharya for the Chaitanya Sampradaya. Imagine that. And the Goswamis were the Adi Gurus, the original Gurus. You see, a Sampradaya has got a Sampradaya Acharya, an original Guru. The Madhvacharya, if you look at it from the point of view of Madhvacharya, he's a Sampradaya Acharya, and Brahma is the original Guru of the Sampradaya. You see? And then for Ramanujacharya, Sri, the Goddess of Fortune, is the original Guru of that Sampradaya. The four Kumaras are the original Gurus of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Shiva is the original Guru of the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. So by analogy, the six Goswamis are counted, according to the Harmonist magazine, as the original Gurus of the Chaitanya Sampradaya. And the Sampradaya Acharya is considered to be Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Just see how elevated they gave him that status, elevated status. Anyway, more about Ramanujacharya. So I mentioned Yamunacharya. He's the actual original, the real guru of Ramanujacharya. And Yadava Prakash was the false guru, was an impersonalist. There's another interesting pastime, and it's to do with the impersonalism and the fighting that was going on. The king of Kanchipur was an impersonalist. And as I mentioned, due to the power of Ramanujacharya's preaching, there was a lot of unrest. A lot of the impersonalists were very unhappy. And many of them, they went to the king and said, we want to sort this out. We want to convert Ramanujacharya. So they devised a plan that they would bring Ramanujacharya to the royal court, and they would convert him. Now, at that time, Ramanujacharya had a disciple called Kuresh, and he was a wise person. And he had the feeling that something wasn't right here. He feared that some plot was going on. So he persuaded Ramanujacharya. He said, I will go in your place. So he dressed as a sannyasi, and he went pretending to be Ramanujacharya. Of course, you can do that because they didn't have Facebook in those days. You couldn't check him out. No one knows what everyone looks like unless you meet someone face to face. So Kuresh went, and he was very defiant. He would not back down. He was going to follow the Vaishnav philosophy. And this angered the king. So being a very evil-minded king, he burnt out the eyes of Kuresh. And Kuresh, he was so tolerant, he did not, you know, cry or anything. He just took it as the plan of the Lord. And wonderful thing happened when Ramanujacharya, he was reunited with Kuresh. He took Kuresh before the deity, Varadaraj, and he prayed that Kuresh would get his eyesight back. And just at that moment, a cool breeze came over Kuresh, and miraculously, his sight was restored. So we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Nami Bhakta Pranashyati, my devotees never perish. Now in this particular instance, he got his eyesight back. But sometimes devotees think, but we see other stories where the devotee does perish. He gets killed or he's maimed. But actually, the spiritual seed, remember, we're not this body. The body, the devotion of the devotee never perishes. The body may perish. Sometimes devotees may preach in difficult situations and they may be killed or they may find themselves in a natural disaster or in a war zone, for example. And some devotees, they lose faith. They think, why did Krishna not protect that devotee? But we only see the smaller picture. We're just looking at it from this bodily platform. If we see things from the higher platform, that we're eternal beings and we have another destination, then we can understand that the Lord really does protect his devotee. Nami Bhakta Pranashyati. So let's conclude with mentioning the two features of the Sri Sampradaya that Lord Chaitanya took. Sometimes mention this. He took two aspects from the four Sampradayas. So there are eight principles that Lord Chaitanya took. So does anyone know what principles he took from the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya? Serving the Vaishnavas, yes. Called Bhakta Jana Seva. Vaishnav Seva. It's so important. I was just thinking, when we speak the Premadvani, there's one phrase we speak three times. All glories to the assembled devotees. Why do we choose that one phrase and say it three times? Because devotees are so valuable. Devotees are so precious. Now in the Jiva Dharma, there's a description of what the Majjhimadhikari is. The Majjhimadhikari loves the devotees. The Kanishadhikari may be a little bit puffed up. He's a bit arrogant. He has more love for the Lord than he has for the Lord's devotees. But the Majjhimadhikari loves the Lord's devotees. So it said, the mentality of the Majjhimadhikari, Atma Buddhi, he sees the devotees as more dear than himself. Tirtha Buddhi, he sees the devotees as like a place of pilgrimage. Mamata Buddhi, he has feelings of loving possession to his devotees. They're like his. He wants to embrace them, hug them. They're like friendship. And Ijja Buddhi, he worships the devotees. So when we have this mentality, we know that we've progressed from the Kanishtha platform to the Majjhimadhikari platform, which is why it's so sad when devotees have fighting, when there's fighting going on, different factions in our society. It indicates a low consciousness. We have to come to the Majjhimadhikari platform. So Vaishnav Seva, or Vaishnav Bhakta Jana Seva, the service of the Vaishnav is one of the key features that Lord Chaitanya took from Ramanujacharya. And it said in the Aditya Purana, Yemi Bhakta Janapata, Nami Bhaktas Chachedanaha, Mad Bhaktanam Chaye Bhaktas, Temi Bhakta Tama Mataha. Those who say they are my devotee are not my devotee. But those who say they are the devotee of my devotee, they are my real devotee. We have to imbibe this, because this is how we advance in spiritual life. We become the devotee of the devotee. And what's the other principle? Anyone know? Unalloyed, yes, correct, unalloyed. Ananya Bhakti is called. Our devotion should not be alloyed with what? Gyan and karma. With fruit, anya bilashita sunyam, gyana karma jinavritam, anukuina krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama. This is known as the Paribhasa Sutra of the Nectar of Devotion. It is the main verse. So one time I went through the Nectar of Devotion and I put the Sanskrit verses into it. It's on Iskon Desire Tree. If you want to look at Nectar of Devotion with the Sanskrit verses added, I put it on. I did it. It took me about 4 months. It's like about 2,000 verses. Anyway, I noticed something. There was one verse which had a very, very long explanation. Only one verse had a very long explanation, several pages, and it was the explanation to the Anya Bilashita Shunyam verse. That is the key verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Prabhupada gives a long explanation about this verse. So this is Ananya Bhakti, unalloyed devotion. That is what is going to bring ISKCON into a higher level, my feeling. We are, for some reason, the British public are not so interested in the Hare Krishnas anymore. Now, in places like Russia, they are. People are more interested. For me, the way it's going to be sparked, it's not with purchasing property. It's not even with funding preaching. Because you can preach, you can give all the money you like to preaching, but if you can't change a person's heart, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen through sweetness. If we become ananya bhakti, we have unalloyed devotion, that sweetness is what changes a person's heart. And it's interesting, Prabhupada, he says, preaching is ahoituki. Because there was one time a disciple of Prabhupada said, we don't have any funding. And Prabhupada said, preaching is ahoituki. Even without funding, nothing can stop it. It's all about the purity of heart. Prabhupada had nothing. What do they have? How many rupees did he have when he came to America? How much? 70 rupees? Okay, I don't remember. Anyway, he had nothing, but he had the greatest wealth. He had Krishna in his heart. And then amazing things happened. So it can happen today. There are no excuses. Hare Krishna. That's enough. That's enough of my... Thank you for tolerating me. And we have a few comments or questions if you like.